need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help. When I was young, was so much younger than today. Number two is underway. The Roto Experts in the morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Adam Ronis. We're all here to help you with your waiver wire this week. It is waiver wire week five. And get all the help you need, head on over to rotoexperts.com right now. Enter the code FREERADIO at checkout. Hey, and you'll get the best of the best to help you with your waiver wire.
Including a live waiver chat tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, with George, the answer expert, Kurtz, and also the latest waiver column from Mike Florio and my advanced scout, where I tell you to pick up Chris Hogan, Zach Center, and maybe even stash off Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Maybe. You have to read the article to find out if it's real. Right. Let's get into the waiver wire here, guys.
It's real.
It's damn real?
Yeah.
Spectacular.
God, that was the most obvious thing that was coming ever.
Whatever. You didn't say it, so it wasn't that obvious.
Oh, my God. it's very easy to make him laugh.
I know.
Interesting.
Well, when he says a joke, not you.
Hey, let's get into the waiver wire, guys, because we all need help, right? Like, we all are injured. We all have buys, so we're always looking for help. Unfortunately, this week, there doesn't seem to be much out there.
No, there really isn't.
So I'm looking, and I was trying to come up with some guys to ask you about. And I like to go through guys, go through how much you would spend, because that's what the people want to hear. That's what I need to hear. That's what I need to know. So let's start in Baltimore, because this running situation, this running game, has been a mystery since the middle of the preseason, right? We heard so many great things about Terrence West. Then Justin Forsett got cut. Then he got re-signed. Then he was the starter. Then they were splitting carries. Then he got benched. Then he's going to get cut again. Then Kenneth Dixon's coming back. I don't know who's out there with the Baltimore running game anymore. I don't know if Kenneth Dixon's still out there. I assume Terrence West isn't still out there. But maybe they are.
No, actually, they're more available in leagues than you think. I think Terrence West has gotten cut the last 2 weeks, and I know I have done it. Scott and I did it, too. We drafted him, and obviously the first 3 weeks, if you look at the season, I think we cut him 2 weeks ago, Scott, if I'm not mistaken, but if you looked at the first few weeks, it was basically a split, so I could see why people cut him. There was no indication that a change was going to come, and then shockingly, Justin Forsett was a healthy and active in week four, and that gave West the opportunity, and he had a good matchup, and he took advantage with 113 yards rushing and a touchdown. I know everyone has been clamoring and waiting for Kenneth Dixon, so have I, drafted him in a couple leagues. But I think with what West did this past week, he's going to get another big opportunity here this week, and he's got a good matchup against the Redskins, who have been awful against the run. Dixon could be back this week. They'll probably ease him in. He probably becomes the pass-catching back. But I think with what West did last week, the Ravens have to give him another opportunity. So I think you do have to pick up West. I would pick up Dixon, too, but if I had to pick one, I think you'd go with West. We've already seen him on the field. We saw him have one productive game. He was solid in the preseason. And we haven't seen Dixon on the field yet. I would like to still believe that Dixon could seize the job, and it's certainly possible. But right now, for this week, West is in the driver's seat.
I agree with you. I think with Kenneth Dixon not on the field, guys, he may suck. Like, I don't know. Like, he may be terrible. I have absolutely no idea. Terrence West in the driver's seat. They have liked this guy. I'd like this guy, since they signed him, he worked himself into shape, and now he is the lead back. Okay, how much money are you spending on Terrence West this week?
Maybe 15 to 20% if I really need a running back.
All right, 15 to 20% of your budget if you need a running back. I agree. I like the 20% number. Scott Engel, if you have Terrence West on the waiver wire, how much are you spending on him?
It depends on what my needs are, as I always say. But I think, you know, Mike Florio talked about this in his waiver column on rotoexperts.com. I think you got to spend about 20 to 40%.
That's a big range, 20 to 40%. What did you say, 30%?
I think there's going to be some aggressive bidding for Terrence West out there. I think it depends on how much you want him, how much you need him, and want to insure yourself. I'm always okay with overspending to get what I need.
Yeah, fab is one of the most difficult things to help people with in fantasy sports because it's so different across leagues. Now, we have 4 weeks in the books. I think you have to kind of go back to the transaction log and look at the amount of money that is spent in FAB. See if your league is aggressive or if they're not. I see one of my leagues, they're not aggressive, so I know I don't need to spend a lot. If you're in another league where there have been some hefty bids already, then you know you're going to have to increase it a little bit. So we have a sample size here of 4 weeks. We'll give you an indication of where your league is in terms of spending FAB, and I think you have to adjust accordingly.
All right, Kenneth Dixon. And I agree with you. FAB is so freaking hard. Kenneth Dixon, how much did you spend on him this week?
You definitely could spend less, and his stock might have gone down with the West.
I agree with you.
So I don't think you need to spend as much. So maybe more in the 10 to 15% range.
Okay. Let's continue on. Because, again, it's not easy out there, right? It's just not. Another running back. We spoke about him a little bit earlier. You said Zach Zenner. Was Dwayne Washington banged up? You said if you were a little desperate, the August darling trying to make him an October darling here. How much would you spend on Zach Zenner, Scott?
I think when you're doing FAB, too, you always want to have it in a unique sort of number. So if you like a $100 FAB, you don't want to spend $5.
Sure.
And people still do it.
Six.
I don't get it.
Makes sense. You want to spend $6 or $7 so you can win a bid. I don't think a lot of people are consciously thinking about Zach Zenner here. I think if you had a $100 budget, you know, I think you could get him for $7 or $8.
Yeah, I would not spend a lot of money on him. We don't know the status of Washington. All indications are he'll probably sit out with this injury. But, yeah, I wouldn't throw in a big bid either, $4 to $7. So that's 4 to 7%.
Yeah, I'm on the aggressive side, so I'd say the 7.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You are absolutely. I don't know if I need 7. I think the 4 is fine for me personally, but like you said, you want to be aggressive. You really want him, you go out and get him.
It depends on your needs.
Absolutely.
And also, you know, if you're not doing FAB, you're doing a regular waiver wire one run. You know, if there's somebody out there like Terrence West,
sure,
you can make Terrence West your priority, and you can make Zach Zenner your second contingent.
One more running back comes to my mind here, guys, and that's Bilal Powell.
Yeah.
Bilal Powell is somebody that I think the three of us have all been saying, listen, there's a role coming. It's just a matter of time.
I think the two of you have.
You have not been saying that? Okay. So maybe it's the two of us saying it.
Yeah.
There's a role coming. It's just a matter of time for him. Forte can't last this long. Bilal Powell is too good. He has to get involved. And we saw a glimpse of it here this week against the Seahawks, Scott. And I think it is coming, Ronis. This is the time. You want to be preemptive. He's not going to go for $1 million right now, entire FAB budget.
Cheap.
He's going to be cheap, but he's going to be somebody that helps you later on. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I drafted him in a couple leagues. I've held on to him. I might have to even use him this week just because of the buys and the injuries at running back. But this is, we've seen it now 2 weeks. Now, I know against Kansas City they were down big, but we haven't seen Forte involved heavily in the pass game the last 2 weeks. Forte had 59 touches the first 2 weeks and only 33 the last 2 weeks. Now, there was a report that Forte was carted to the x-ray room after the game, but I haven't seen any other details or any other reporters talk about this. So we're going to have to see if there is an injury there with Forte. Right now, there doesn't seem to be any. But Powell had 6 catches for 41 yards in week 3 against the Chiefs, and this week he had 6 catches for 54 yards on 9 targets. So he's starting to get more incorporated into the offense. His snaps are going up. Again, a nice floor in a PPR league. You can get 8 to 12 points from him alone on receptions and receiving yards. So, yeah, I would absolutely pick up Powell if he's sitting out there.
Here's the thing about Powell.
Yep.
It was, and that you have to be careful with. It was games playing specific, I think, this week because, you know, they couldn't get Forte to run the ball. And the way to attack the Seattle cover three is, you know, to throw underneath and running backs, you know. Belichick did that in the Super Bowl with Shane Vereen. And I think they do it again this week.
Steelers,
with
I was going to say that.
Yeah,
same
I think
thing.
They do that. I talked about this in my advanced scout on Roto Experts, which is available now. Part of the exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package at the radio checkout for a special discount.
Free radio
you guys
at
like
checkout.
A bunch of
you're so
free
repetitive.
Radio.
It's free radio.
Radio. Yes, I created that promo code as well. You guys are like a bunch of waitresses over here with your bells, though. But, yeah, I think they do it again.
I'm going to throw sausage at your face. How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, dirty sexual
You're a
joke.
Sausage
Continue.
Expert, aren't you?
Yeah, so
yes.
That's coming.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. But anyhow, as Greg kicks it back to me.
Oh, good pun.
Yeah. We're getting off track here. I think they do it again against Pittsburgh. You know, they came out that first drive against Seattle, 3 tight end set. Later on when they had to play catch-up, they had to throw it underneath. I think that you don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing downfield, especially without Eric Decker. He plays a bigger role. Also, stash Austin Seferian Jenkins because they really tried to get the tight end involved this past week, and none of those guys could catch it.
So I will not be stashing Austin Seferian Jenkins because he was bad in Tampa Bay. Changeli's never utilized a tight end. So I will not be stashing Elston Zverinjian. There's not enough roster spots to do that.
I think if you do have the room, and some people out there do.
Of course.
I think you do. I think the Jets are going to get him involved, especially if Decker misses
Isn't there enough tight ends that you can use right now that you don't need to waste a spot stashing him unless you're like in a 16, 18 team league?
Yeah.
I don't have enough room to stash him. I got injuries.
It depends on what league you're in and what situation you're in.
Yeah, I don't see the need to do it. I think there's viable tight ends.
I think
right
you at
now.
Least got to monitor him. I think he could play a role, real role.
You can put him on watches. I can't grab him. I can't do that right now. Let's go to the wide receivers here for a moment.
You're about to cut
Kobe Fleener.
Cut Drew Brees, right?
No, I like Drew Brees. Yeah. But okay, hold on. We talked about tight ends, right? We talked about cutting Kobe Fleener a little while ago. You want to pick Austin Seferian Jenkins when guys like Cameron Brate are out there. Like, Brate's good. You can start Brate right now.
I feel eventually like Seferian Jenkins might start out producing Brate.
And well, I know
if he would have, wouldn't
I'm
they,
for,
kept, wouldn't
looking
they have
here.
Kept this guy over Brate?
I'm forward looking right now.
I will say this. Check your waiver wire. Probably in most leagues he's owned, but see if Tyler Eifert's out there.
Sure. Absolutely. Tyler Eifert probably coming back this week. Yeah. Let's get to the wide receivers here, guys. The number one guy, I doubt he's out there, but Steve Smith. You know, people were not loving Steve Smith coming in, and it took him a couple games to get rolling again. And we knew this was coming, specifically our guy Jake Seeley. And I don't want to always give him credit, but he was on this one.
Don't give him credit.
Hey, he's my friend. He was on this
one. So what?
Well, I give credit where it's due.
Okay.
And the fact is, he was. He said this, I'm putting in all my DFS lineups this week. I love Steve Smith. This big game is going to come, and he had it in that fourth quarter. And he's the number one wide receiver on this team. It's not Mike Wallace. He is the safety valve. He is the deep threat. He is everything. He is a number one wide receiver, picking up where he left off before the injury. He looks good again. For those that doubted Steve Smith, you're idiots. He's out there, Ronis. How much are you spending on him?
Yeah, I think 20 to 30%, maybe even more, because I think clearly he's a big part of this offense. He looked good last week. I think the slow start wasn't surprising. He missed a lot of camp. And, you know, you always worry about someone his age coming off that injury. But we've seen Steve Smith. We knew he worked hard to get back because why else would you come back at age 37 if you didn't? You're not going to come back half-heartedly and, you know, not be the player you were. You knew that there would be some downside there. But I was impressed with how he looked this past week. So, yeah, if he's out there, I would get him.
Okay, Scotty, I love Steve Smith, but I also love some other players. And, you know, one of them, we spoke about him a moment ago, is Chris Hogan. Now, I get it. This kind of reminds me of what we said going into this year about the Packers and the Colts constantly. Hey, this offense is broken, but it's going to be fixed now. Hasn't really been fixed in Green Bay. Certainly it's not fixed in Indianapolis. This is a different situation because, obviously, Brady was suspended. He comes back. I think a lot of us think they're going to blow Cleveland out by 50 points this week. And every Patriot we have, we're excited about. And one of those guys, and I kind of fall into that camp, one of those guys is Chris Hogan. Yeah. He hasn't done much, but the snaps are there. He's on the field. He is the number two wide receiver on this team. You love Edelman here. Obviously, Gronk is going to be Gronk, so we think. But where does Chris Hogan lie? He is out there in leagues because he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people are
going
to cut him after, you know, he did nothing this last week if they haven't done it already. And I leave with him on rotoexperts.com this morning. And
I'm happy that fell. That echo was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm happy that fell down too. But anyhow, I like him. He was developing a good rapport with Brady. We saw him play pretty respectably with Garoppolo early in the year. I think he gets involved. I think at the very least, he's a great bye week plugger for this upcoming week. And, you know, I think he has wide receiver 4 immediate value with potential for being a wide receiver 3.
Okay.
In PPR.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think there's too many other weapons in this offense. I think Edelman, Gronk, even Martellus Bennett. Look how Bennett has played. He has 2 100-yard games. I know it's without Brady, but they're going to use him. Bennett looks good. So I just don't think there's enough to rely on Hogan. There's going to be inconsistency. And let's not forget, they're going to use James White in this offense too. We haven't seen anything from him.
What do you think of James White going forward?
I think it'll be tough to count on him. I would like to see how they utilize him here, but I do think he'll play a bigger role because they're going to run a lot of no-huddle, quick passes, and that's going to mean more James White on the field compared to LeGarrette Blount. The offense is quickly going to change. You know, obviously they were conservative, feeding LeGarrette Blount 20 to 25 times a game. I don't see that anymore.
Here's where I stand on the Patriots, outside of LeGarrette Blount. I'm buying all the pieces I can right now. I don't know how it's going to shake out. Like, I don't know what's going to happen with James White. I don't know what's going to happen with Chris Hogan or Danny Amendola, for that matter. But I want to gobble this up now while the price is as low as it's going to be the rest of the year, theoretically, with Brady coming back. I want to gobble it up. I want White. I want Hogan. And then we'll see if it works out. There's so few guys, particularly
this
week.
Keep my eye on Malcolm Mitchell.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. All these guys, right?
Yeah.
They cost you nothing right now. Might as well take the flyer today before it costs you a crap load next week. And that's only how I feel. You mentioned another guy earlier in the show, Scott, that I think is out there quite a bit. And that's Robert Woods. Sammy Watkins on IR, right? Which we saw coming, or some of us saw coming. Otherwise, other people just drafted him and feel like idiots. But
Pat Mayo talked about him about week two, I think.
Sammy Watkins is hurt. Robert Woods is out there. I'd say, I don't know about everywhere, but he's out there a lot. And this offense isn't exactly fantasy-friendly outside of LeSean McCoy. What do you do with a guy like Robert Woods, Scotty, or a guy like Charles Clay? Like, I assume Tyrod Taylor has to throw to somebody. Marquise Goodwin. I don't know. How much are you spending on guys like Robert Woods, Charles Clay? Like, what do you think of this Buffalo offense, essentially?
Like you say, he's got to throw to somebody. He's got familiarity with Woods.
And Clay.
There's a floor there.
Okay.
I think there's about an 8 to 10 point PPR floor every week. There's not a lot of upside.
Okay.
I think the floor increases for Charles Clay.
Okay.
6 to 9 PPR points every week. Marquise Goodwin, I had this debate with Cha-Cha on the Old School Fantasy Hour yesterday. And you can listen to me, Cha-Cha, and George Kurtz on the Old School Fantasy Hour, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern every day. That includes today, every weekday. And he said, I like Marquise Goodwin. He's going to step up. He's got an opportunity. I'm like, Cha-Cha, what the heck are you talking about? He's had the opportunity for the last 2 weeks. He's caught three passes in the last 2 weeks. Opportunity does not always lead to production, and it certainly doesn't always lead to upside. There's not upside for Robert Woods. There's not upside for Charles Clay. There's no production for Marquise Goodwin. Don't waste a waiver pickup on Marquise Goodwin, but you can certainly, if you need receiver help for bye, et cetera, and you want a good 8 to 12 points, pick up Robert Woods.
How much will you spend on Robert Woods and Charles Clay?
Not much, because these guys are boring. This Bills offense is going to be so conservative. You know, Woods will give you 8 to 12 in a PPR, which is fine, but you're not going to get many touchdowns. He has 18 targets the last 2 weeks. He had 7 for 89 against the Patriots. You know, Bills are going to take what the defense gave them. That's what they did against New England. So I'm not excited about Woods, like 10%.
10%, that's not nothing, right? I mean, 10 bucks.
It's not a lot, though. For a guy that people are going to say, oh, this is the number one wide receiver in the offense, it's really not a lot. I wouldn't go crazy. I think that's where people sometimes get things wrong. Oh, wow, he's the number one now. He's going to really put up big numbers. He's just not in this offense.
Would you rather have Charles Clay?
Again, it comes down to what I need more tight. Who my other tight end is.
Kobe Fleener, let's say.
Well, he's on a bye this week, so yeah, I'd make the move. But long term, I'd rather have Fleener.
Long term, yeah. What about someone like Cameron Brait?
I'd rather have Brait.
All right, so you don't really like
Clay. I like Clay, but again, I agree with Scott. There's no ceiling with these guys at all. It's basically 8 to 12 points in a PPR, which is not bad. But look, you want difference makers if you can. We need touchdowns. You know, yeah, you can have a boring player or two to plug into your lineup, but if you're going to the waiver wire, you want to try and hit a home run. You're not going to hit home runs with Woods and Clay.
I tend to agree. Guys, the only other player I have on this list for me is someone, we spoke about earlier in the show, it's Bobby Rainey. You know, he's going to play a little bit of a Shane Vereen role. I know you were talking about, Adam, how a lot of his stats came on that last drive where they're dumping and dumping and dumping. There's a role here for Bobby Rainey in PPR leagues. I don't know what that is, but when you're always desperate for running backs, I think he's worth a pickup.
Yeah, it's difficult to depends on what happens with Jennings. I mean, obviously Jennings is going to play a role when he returns. And even with Shane Vereen, we saw very inconsistent from week to week. We saw last year, I think he had like four games of 7 to 8 catches and then a bunch with two or less. So that's the problem, is you do get pulled in by seeing last night, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen next week. So bye week plug-in, I would say. Plus, what happens if they do involve Paul Perkins more? What if he does pick up pass pro?
Yeah, I don't know.
He got creamed last night on the key play.
He did. I think that, you know, if you're desperate, being desperate.
I mean, I know people are going to look at Rainey last night and say, well, he had more targets. I think that was a product of playing from behind and going against that Minnesota defense. You know it's difficult to run on them, so you're going to have that running back out of the backfield to catch passes.
Absolutely. Hey, is there anybody else worth spending some dough on this week, Scott?
I think that, again, it all depends on what you need. But,
yeah, I just can't see anybody. Ronis?
Wendell Smallwood, because he's coming off a bye.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some heavy bidding for Wendell Smallwood. That's a guy that I've been talking about since the preseason.
He's 12% owned in Yahoo leagues.
So there you go, Wendell Smallwood, 12% owned in Yahoo leagues. That is someone you should go pick up. Because even the Eagles said, yeah, Ryan Matthews will be active, but who knows? And, if I'm an Eagles running back owner, Matthews or Smallwood or Sproles or Barner, who am I starting this week?
You're worried as hell because they've already made it clear they're going to go with the committee. Matthews, I would think, still leads it if he's healthy. Coming off the bye, you hope that the ankle is fine. We saw Smallwood play the most snaps in week 3 against the Steelers. But again, that was a blowout. Touchdown came late. I think Sproles, obviously, in PPR leagues, we know what his role is going to be. But as of right now, I'd lean towards Matthews. But again, you don't feel great about it.
I also think Matthews still has the goal line role. I think that's still there for him. He was having some success the first couple weeks. So even if it's getting that 6 carries and nothing else, I think the goal line role is still going to be his. It's just frustrating watching the game and seeing Sproles out there all the time and never seeing Ryan Matthews. So Smallwood's a really good one. I don't know if anybody else, honestly, really comes to mind. But that's the waiver wire. Go to rotoexperts.com. Check it out. Talk to George Kurtz tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, inside the Exclusive Edge package, which can be yours for a discount when you enter free radio at checkout.
Yeah, just trying to go a little bit deep. I mean, I know we mentioned Brian Hoyer at quarterback, as a possible pickup. Running backs, we don't know what Arian Foster, if he's fully going to return. Even if he does, I don't trust him to stay healthy, and I like the way Jay Ajayi ran last week.
I agree with you, but the Dolphins coaches are morons. Did you see the way they were rotating the running backs in the game? Ajayi looked good.
Ajayi looked so much. They don't put
him in the game.
It made no sense.
So I agree. If you're going to pick one, it's Ajayi.
Yeah.
But I do not trust this coaching staff to make the right calls. They don't like Ajayi, but you know what? He was the most productive.
Easily.
Put him on the damn field.
And also, do not pick up C.J. Spiller just because he scored a touchdown.
I'll throw one more wide receiver in there.
One more wide receiver.
Sammy Coates.
Sure.
And Eddie Royal.
Yeah,
especially if Kevin White was done.
Eddie Royal's going to burn me as soon as I'm not going to do it. What about Brian Quick?
He's gonna you're gonna trust Brian Quick?
No,
more
I'm
than
asking
Royal?
You guys. It's like,
I don't want to
pick up Royal or Quick.
No, I don't want Quick.
All right, Scott, you don't like Royal. Would you pick him up in an 18-team league?
I'll pick him up in a 14-team league. Yeah,
but
I know I can't trust him. I think for bye weeks, and depending on the matchup, maybe Jeremy Curley too, because the slot receiver is important in San Francisco.
So I'll tell you this: I do think that I want Sammy Coates. Marcus Wheaton keeps getting benched. Eli Rogers is banged up. Sammy Coates has a role in this offense, guys.
He's boom or bust.
He is
boom or bust. Yes. But hopefully he gets a little more consistent as the season goes on.
And it's an offense you want a piece of.
Exactly.
And he could see an uptick in snaps. He has 5 plays this year of 40 yards or more. So Roethlisberger is taking shots downfield. And if he makes one of those big plays and scores a touchdown in a given week, especially with buys coming up, he's going to pay dividends.
Absolutely agree. When we come back, those are the guys we want to pick up on the waiver wire. But let's talk to you about your waiver wire, your team, your trades, your starts, your sits. Let's do it next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning at 844-843-6879, 844-FNTSY. The Roto Experts in the Morning roll on right after this.
And if you feel you're sinking, I will jump right over into cold, cold water for you.
I like the edit there, yeah. That was good. Yeah, it's a new era in the Roto Experts in the Morning. It is the Believer era, Scotty.
You got to believe.
You got to believe.
Right, Ronis, you got to believe.
You got to believe.
Yes.
Hey, Mets tomorrow night. We'll talk about that a little bit on tomorrow's show. Get you guys pumped. I know you're going, Scotty. You mentioned Giants. You're a member of the media there. You will not cheer, that's for sure, I'm sure.
Not allowed.
Not allowed to cheer, so I can't imagine you'll be doing that. We'll be staying for the whole game tomorrow night.
Yes.
staying for the whole game. This extra hour, and you're good now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty exciting.
I was able to watch all of Monday Night Football last night.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it makes my analysis better.
You got to like the new schedule, right?
Yeah, I like the new schedule.
Like the new network?
Yes. We got a lot of tweets here, too.
We got a lot of tweets. We got a lot of phone calls. We're going to get to them here right now on the show at 844-843-6879, 844-84-FNTSY. It's your calls right now. Scott, let's start with the tweets, though. Let's roll it up. What was first?
Stevie G says, what's the deal with Thomas Rawls coming back in a month or two? Will he be involved? All I can say is nobody knows when he's coming back for sure.
If he's coming back.
You know, right now, there's Kristen Michaels backfield. Our friend Dennis Roy says, thought on James White, full PPR with Brady back. Is he a viable flex?
All right. Is he a viable flex?
I don't want to use him in my flex. I'd prefer as an RB2 if I have injuries or bye week issues. I think he had 5 for 50 this past week in a game they were playing from behind, but I expect his role in this offense to increase. He will be on the field more with Tom Brady in that no-huddle hurry-up.
Okay.
Jim Martell says, would you pick up Zach Miller or Ertz and drop Dwayne Allen? I have Graham on a bye. I think if Ertz returns this week, he's definitely got a big role in the offense. JG2 says,
better. Real quick on that, yeah. The Lions are a team you want to pick on with tight ends. They have allowed 18 touchdowns in the last 20 games to tight ends.
The worst.
Including 6 this year. So, yeah, Ertz is in a great spot this week. He is slated to return.
He's actually, I think, the perfect, going on the same question, the perfect guy for grandma to buy. I don't know if he's out there, but he's coming off the injury.
He could be. People could have dropped him.
Could have dropped him because of the injury and because of the bye.
He missed 2 weeks and a bye.
Let's not forget that.
That's 3 weeks. It's hard to stash.
So if he's out there, I think the matchup is fantastic for Zach Ertz this week. I think he's the perfect bye week replacement. He could even get more. I really like Zach Ertz this week. Ian, let's take David from Florida. You are up next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call, and I'm excited to be a part of your new show.
Let's go,
yes,
David.
Thanks
Let's
for coming
it.
Over, yes.
What's going on, David?
I have a quarterback issue and a tight end issue. I have Drew Brees and Travis Kelce. And my question is, should I go for a trade and try to get a Flacco or a Wentz or maybe a Tannehill, Manning, Bradford, or in the tight end spot, ones that are taken, Bratt, Henry, Rudolph, Eifert, or on the waiver, Bennett's there, Jesse James is there, and Hoyer's there. So should I just go get the waiver, or should I go after a trade? Or do you think, if you had to rank them, what would be better options?
Scotty?
I would have to say, you know, making a trade for 1 week, like Adam and I said, you know, is not something you want to do. I think, mm-hmm. you know, you just want pluggers here for 1 week. If you get, say, right. you know, a Brian Hoyer, Hunter Henry combination, mm-hmm. I think that's the way to go.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank y'all so much.
All right. Let's keep it rocking here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network at 844-843-6879. And go to Alan from Kentucky. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys. Is it time to cut bait with Lockett and Sharp?
I think with Tajay Sharp, definitely hasn't shown anything. He's had an opportunity. With Lockett, he's got a PCL sprain, and that's why he hasn't really been involved, although Graham has been much more involved. I think Lockett, he's going to be boom or bust, you know, when he's at top health. He has a week to rest his PCL sprain. I would probably cut Sharp, but I'd hold on to Lockett if I could.
I said it last week. I'm saying it again. You can cut Tyler Lockett. There's no reason to hang on to him. Not only
the
does
guy's
he stay,
hurt when he's healthy. He's
he is hurt.
Better.
So why are you holding on to
so
him?
So we're gonna cut players just because they're hurt?
When they're not that good
so
in the first
Carson
place.
Let's cut Carson Palmer.
Yes. Sure,
Tyler
Carson
Lockett
Palmer.
Is gonna
I
be good
no
in the first
cutting
place.
Carson Palmer. Cut him.
When he was healthy, he had a nearly 100-yard game in the second
one
week.
One game.
And then he got hurt.
And he's not good.
He is good. What are you talking
can you
about?
Cut Tyler Lockett?
I have him in a couple leagues. I'm not looking to cut him yet.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Mr. Overreaction Tuesday here.
I'm also 4-0 in the league, but I have Breeze as my only quarterback. So do I get Tannehill, Flacco, or Wentz for this week?
It comes down to Flacco or Wentz. I'm going to go Wentz. I love the matchup here. The Lions have been brutal defensively. They have allowed 12 passing touchdowns. Wentz has looked really poised. He's mobile. He can escape the pass rush. That team seems to be clicking right now. So I'm going to lead with Wentz here.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Good talking to you.
Beautiful. All right. Let's go back to your tweets, which you can tweet at us on the show at FNTSY Radio. Tweet at Adam Ronis. At Adam Ronis?
Yes, pretty
Adam
simple.
Ronis. I'm at Greg Sussman. Scott Roto King XE, something like that?
Scott E. Roto X.
Scott E. Roto X. All right, yes. That's where you can find Scott Engel. Yes. Scotty, let's line up the tweets here.
Or Kickball 1. TD says, about 1%er.
No,
yeah.
Sure.
TD says, Palmer owner, no backup on waivers. Hoyer, Stanton, Prescott, Winston, Bradford. Needs a replacement for this week.
Yep.
It's either Hoyer or Winston.
Agree.
I'm going Hoyer.
Yeah, the Colts are terrible. Hoyer has 2 300-yard games and 2 touchdowns passing in each. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Hoyer.
Here's an interesting one from Chris. Half-point PPR keeper league. Greg, what do you think? Trade Gurley for Freeman and Jordan Howard. I have Tevin Coleman already.
Yes, absolutely, to me. I'm not interested. I want to trade Todd Gurley. I want to get rid of Todd Gurley. I don't – at this offense cannot – I know they're 3-1. But I don't like this offense enough. I think Freeman looks like one of the best running backs. Looks like himself from last year right now. He's as good as he was. To me, to get Jordan Howard also, who I think could be a beast, yeah, I'm doing this trade, Ronis.
Yeah, I would too. I know Gurley got more involved in the passing game this past week with 5 catches for 49 yards. Part of that was Benny Cunningham was injured, left the game. The Rams coaches are not that bright to make a move like that. I mean, I don't understand how Gurley hasn't been involved in the passing game more. He made a nice one-handed catch along the sideline. It's a skill set that he has, and they don't use him enough. So we've already seen some positive game scripts for Gurley this year, and the results are still not there. Freeman is a huge part of this Falcons offense, and if Howard continues to play this well, that's his job the rest of the year. They already don't like Jeremy Langford. John Fox was already critical of him after 1 week. So Howard has a chance to seize a job, so I would do it.
All right. Scotty, any more tweets here for us?
Nope. We're caught up there.
Well, I got some tweets I want.
We'll take more at FNTSY Radio.
We will. I got some tweets here. Let's continue on. Let me see here. Rank my pickup priority to plug for my RB2. Rank these guys, Ronis. Matt Jones, Latavius Murray, Terrence West, James White, Bilal Powell.
Jones, Murray, West, Powell, and White.
Scott?
I'm pretty much in agreement with that.
Would you drop Dwayne Washington for most of these guys? Or?
It depends. If I needed him this week, I'd try and hold out hope for another couple days to see what the status is of Washington. Because, again, I think there's a big opportunity for Washington. I like him. I think that he's going to be the guy that runs in between the tackles. I think he's going to get the goal line carry. So I would try and hold him. If I needed someone this week, actually, no, I would cut him. I don't love Matt Jones, but he has run better the last couple weeks. And there is the carries are there for him. And so I would cut him for the first two. Murray, I'm very concerned about Latavius Murray, though. I mean, you know, people are saying, well, he's so efficient. That's great. We need volume in fantasy. And you saw last week the downside if he doesn't score a touchdown. He had a touchdown in each of the first three games. We did not see one this week. 8 for 19. They clearly do not love Latavius Murray. You have got to be worried as a Latavius Murray owner.
So let's talk about that for a moment here with the waiver wire. DeAndre Washington is out there in quite a few leagues. I know people are slowly picking him up to speculate, but I would say the strong majority of leagues here, Ronis, DeAndre Washington's out there. Is he a guy you want to pick up right now?
Again, he's in the same scenario, though. He's still splitting. They're using 4 backs there, and he did have a fumble this past week as well. So I'm not going crazy for him because, again, I think the way the Raiders have done this now for 4 weeks, I think that's what they want to do. I think they were concerned that Latavius Murray really wore down last year. If you look at his first half and second half splits, the yards per carry went down significantly. He had 266 carries last year, and people were drafting Murray based on volume. They said, hey, look at this backfield. He's a 3-down back. He had the volume last year. That means something in fantasy, and that's a mistake a lot of people make because things changed during the course of the season. Two guys that everyone was saying, hey, the volume's there. You got to take them. Latavius Murray and Jeremy Langford. And you know what? The volume's not there now.
Yep.
And it's a big problem. And I know Langford got hurt, but we were headed down that path where Langford was not going to be a 3-down back. So that's why you got to be very careful and sometimes go a little bit more on talent.
Scotty, you picking up DeAndre Washington this week?
Probably not. But I feel like he's got an inconsistent passing game role. It's a true committee there, like you mentioned, the 4 backs, even the fullback is getting involved near the goal line. And with Latavius Murray, look, they wanted bigger playability from him, and he's not showing it. He's showing that all he is a guy that, you know, that can move the pile with some strength and, you know, run between the tackles, but he's nothing special otherwise. And I remember when Murray first came into the league, I was so excited about him because he was a big back with speed, and he's not showing that he can utilize his speed at all, you know, in a way to make defenders miss.
He absolutely does, and to me, I'm trying to find the next guy I don't have to spend millions of dollars on. I keep saying that. DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard, those are guys I think about. I think about
Wendell Smallwood.
Wendell Smallwood, man, absolutely.
I've been talking about him since July.
You're absolutely right. You know, you also talk about Alex Collins since July.
let the barbs be accurate.
Yes.
You know, if you want to go this route, you know, Christian Michael's finally arrived. What's happening to Bishop Sankey nowadays?
Oh,
it's true.
Yeah.
What do you think Bishop Sankey is up to these days?
What?
What do you think he is up to?
He works at a Denny's.
I don't know, but you know, if you got a free spot on your kickball roster, he's available.
Scott's firing shots.
I pick him up on my kickball roster. I play
Might
Bishop.
Be a bust there too.
that would hurt me even more.
Yeah.
Kickball is more important than your fantasy.
Absolutely,
team.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's pretty even. What do you think, guys? I brought this up to you on Next Week in Fantasy, which you can also be heard here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. See, I do it to myself also.
Yeah, there you go.
And I brought this up. We're in the same vein of the DeAndre Washingtons, of Jalen Richard, of even Alex Collins, in all honesty. In Indianapolis, Scott, with Frank Gore being at his age, I looked at Bilal Powell in comparison to like Matt Forte at his age. Somebody, if Frank Gore goes down, somebody's going to carry the rock, right? Is investing in a guy like Josh Ferguson or Robert Turbin worth it?
I think it's going to be a split if he went down.
Okay.
I think Turbin will be the inside guy. Ferguson's obviously a guy that you have to get out in space to make plays, so I think it would be Turbin on the inside. I think it would be a timeshare there. I think in a standard, you would want Turbin for possible touchdowns. In a PPR, you would want Ferguson.
Okay. To me, you're probably right. Is it worth investing in at all, Adam?
Not really. Not at this point. I mean, Gore's healthy right now, so I think there are other situations where there is more of a path to quicker touches. And again, with bye weeks, we need production now. So I don't think a lot of people are in a situation where they can stash.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just trying to, again, I'm trying to find a way to not have to spend my entire budget on one of these guys. When we come back, we play Who You Got with Ronis, with Angle, with the Roto Experts in the morning. We take you right up to 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Down here in the atmosphere, garbage and city lights. We're gonna save your tired soul. You're gonna save our lives. I'll turn on the radio to find you on satellite. I'm waiting for this.
It is the final 17 minutes of the Roto Experts in the Morning here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We take your calls all throughout the show at 844-84-FNTSY and at FNTSY Radio on Twitter. Now, we talked to Ronis and Angle and play a little Who Ya Got. I want to know who both of you gentlemen like the most going forward for this year. We can talk about it this week. But there's a whole lot of guys here that, to me, it's tough. So we play Who Ya Got. I'll play the moderator. Let's do it. We start at tight end. Who you got? Cameron Brait or Dennis Pitter, Scott Angle? Pitter.
I'm going to go. I was Cameron Brait until last. I mean, Dennis Pitter until last week.
Yep.
But he hasn't been reliable. I feel like Cameron Brait's going to get more scoring opportunities. I'm going to go Cameron Brait.
Ronis.
Yeah, I'm going to go Pitter. Flacco loves him. And again, can't look at just last week. Got to look at the course of the season. And I think the targets will be there for Pitter in a PPR.
Who you got this week?
I'm going to go with Pitta this week.
Pitta this week, yeah. Great for the season.
Yeah.
Adam?
Pitta against the Redskins.
Pitta against the Redskins. All right, let's continue on here. Who you got? Matt Ryan or Andrew Luck, Ronis?
I think it's a lot closer than people think because the Colts offense has just been a disaster. And I don't know how much it's going to change. Ryan does have his tough schedule ahead. I think this is a key week for Luck. We have to see him tear up the Bears' offense at home. They are coming off the London game, and
no
they don't
buy.
Have to buy. So I'm going to lean Luck slightly, but I don't feel great about it at all.
You know, I think we said that last week in London that it was a key game for him. And, you know, maybe the numbers were there at the end, but, like, he didn't look good in that game in London. Absolutely not. Scotty, Matt Ryan, Andrew Luck, who you got?
It could change soon. I mean, if Ryan does well this week at Denver,
yep.
I'm going to have to say Ryan, but you know what? I got to give Luck the rope of one more game, but that's about it.
That's about it. It's another reason.
I'm still Luck, but you know.
Both of you guys kind of are both on the same page here. You're giving Luck one more week, and if it doesn't happen against Chicago, that's
Tony Sicada would say, I don't need any more bad luck.
Right, and I don't think any of us need any more bad luck, if you will, because at this point, it's tough to start in week in, week out. And this is the crazy thing. You spent the high draft pick on this.
I didn't. That's why I don't have to worry about it. This is why you don't spend a high pick on a quarterback. We've seen it last year,
exactly,
too, with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no need to do it. Matt Ryan was a free agent in some leagues.
Sure.
People didn't draft him, and I understand.
I picked him up and started him last week three.
Absolutely. I mean, and guys like Joe Flacco, Kirk Cousins, they're always out there. Carson Wentz.
Look, we're looking at Brian Hoyer this week, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. I mean, these guys all come out of nowhere every
all
year.
Undrafted.
You don't see it at the beginning of the year. You're like, whoa, who is it going to be? Even Trevor Siemian. People were using him as a streamer last week, and obviously he got hurt, but it would have worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why another reason not to go out and draft these quarterbacks super duper early.
And yet people don't listen, and they do it every year.
And I got really lucky in my league in the sixth round. Person next to me drafted Andrew Luck, and I was like, that was the tier because Drew Brees was next, and the tier kind of fell off a little bit. So I was like, you know what? It's a sixth round. I can grab Brees in the sixth round. It's not like it's early for me, and I'm glad that he took Luck instead of Brees for sure. So, all right, Scott Engel. Who you got, Spencer Ware or Matt Jones?
I think you got to go Matt Jones, you know, now that Jamaal Charles is back. I think it's kind of obvious.
Runners?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Matt Jones. Again, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but look, he's run better the last couple weeks. He was running well against Dallas, and they abandoned the run. They stuck with it last week with the lead. I think a lot of it's going to be game script dependent for him. They clearly are a pass team. But I'm going to go with Jones here just because we've seen Ware now fumble 2-3 straight weeks, and I think they're ready to go to Charles. Ware will still play a role, and maybe he gets some goal line looks, but Matt Jones has the bigger workload.
You know, Matt Jones has the bigger workload, but for me, the fumbling thing is the frustrating part. Because every time he runs, he looks good, Spencer Ware. That's why I think they keep giving him the ball. I still believe that Spencer Ware has not just a role in this offense, Ronis. I still think he has a major role in this offense. I still think he's going to remain the goal line guy. I still think he's going to get a ton of snaps, a ton of touches. Call me crazy. I still like Spencer Ware.
I do too, but I think you got to take Jones over him. I think with Jones, we know we're getting 15, 20 touches per week. And with Ware, we just don't know. It could be 10. It could be 4. And what if there are no goal line carries in that week?
Right.
Then,
or what if
then
they give him to Charles? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be frustrating. All right, Ronis, who you got? Jerick McKinnon or Jordan Howard?
McKinnon. I think he's looked really good, and I understand people are worried about the goal line losses potentially to Asiata, but McKinnon is going to get the bulk of the carries in this backfield. It's clear. I mean, Asiata, 6 carries for 6 yards yesterday. He's just a short yardage goal line
and
back.
That's it.
McKinnon can score his touchdowns outside the 10. And, again, he's not going to lose all the goal line carries. So, yesterday, hurry-up offense and inside the 10, and he got the touchdown. He's going to catch passes with Jordan Howard. Yeah, it was one really good game where he had 20-plus touches, but there's no guarantee that continues week in, week out, where I know McKinnon's role to me is solidified, and it could actually grow. They could actually say, you know what?
Screw Asiata.
Asiata's too slow, and maybe he's not as good as we thought. Let's give McKinnon the goal line carry. So, I'm going to take the more explosive, talented player.
Engel?
It's very close for me, but I'm going to take McKinnon because I feel like he's on the better team. Howard will get lost in game script sometimes. I feel like Minnesota's going to be playing ahead for more often, and I feel like, you know, that's going to be an advantage for McKinnon.
You know, I think it was very close. I agree with you, Scott, that, you know, Adam talked about McKinnon getting all the carries. Well, Jordan Howard already gets all the carries. And I know he probably isn't as talented as Jerick McKinnon. He's certainly not the big play threat that Jerick McKinnon is, but I don't know. I think it's tough to pick against a guy like Jordan Howard when you know it's not like I don't have to worry about a Matt Asiata when it comes to Jordan Howard.
Right.
I just don't.
You just got to worry about them falling behind by 3 touchdowns.
That is completely true. And Minnesota, theoretically, they're going to run the ball all the time.
Yeah.
So, all right. Ronis and Engel, let's keep playing Who You Got here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Carlos Hyde or Lamar Miller?
I'm going to go Lamar Miller. Yeah, I think Hyde, you know, who had those two garbage time touchdowns at Seattle, you know, will be out of the game script a lot as well. So, you know, that's why, you know, he's not the choice for me there.
Yeah, I'm going Lamar Miller. I know people are frustrated because the touchdowns are not there yet. They will come. I think you're just happy that he is getting the workload. So with Hyde, there are going to be games where he's just taken out of it. We saw it in week two. Surprisingly, in against Seattle, they kept feeding him in the fourth quarter. Most of his production came in the fourth quarter when they were down against the prevent defense. You're just going to have to worry that every week you know Lamar Miller is getting 20-plus touches.
Even against Dallas, the Carlos Hyde was involved.
Well, I loved the matchup last week. He was right in the stardom column because Dallas is not good against the run. They allowed 4.9 yards per carry going into that game, and they didn't really face any running backs. So that was a perfect game script for Hyde. I have Hyde in the league. I did not play him in week two and week three. Okay. I played him last week.
All right. So
I probably will not play him this week, Thursday night against Arizona.
Thursday night against Arizona, not a great matchup for him. I feel like not a great matchup for any Chip Kelly coach team where you run them into the ground and Thursday night they come back.
Yeah. I mean, Arizona's defense, though, well, they've been still pretty good against the run. Yeah.
All right. Ronis, who you got? We talked about them earlier on in the show. Golden Tate and Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I think you're going with Cobb here, and you're just hoping that this Packers offense gets it going. Because, again, I think the problem is not only Cobb. I think it's the Packers offense as a whole. Jordy Nelson has been getting his production, but that Lions game, yeah, the Packers offense came out on fire. Four touchdowns in the first half for Aaron Rodgers, and then they buckled down in the second half.
Yep.
But I would still go with Cobb here.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cobb. I feel like with Jordy Nelson back and continuing around back into form every week, he's going to draw a lot of defensive attention. I just feel like, you know, defensive has kind of found how to defend Tate. You know, he's more of a prime weapon in that passing game, I think, in terms of defensive coordination game plan. I think Stafford spreads the ball around a lot of things working against Tate that will continue to work against Tate.
All right, who you got, Scott Engel? Odell Beckham Jr. or Jordy Nelson?
That's tougher than I thought. You know, it's like, you know, you always by default think in your mind that Odell Beckham Jr. is a top three fantasy wide receiver. But, you know, until he shows that he can rein his emotions in, you have to be a little bit concerned. I think he's going to be fine. I feel like ultimately Beckham's going to have more upside and we can't react to just this week. I'm bumping Jordy Nelson up when I do my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com today. Party exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package. Enter free radio for a discount. Chat tonight, 9 Eastern with George Kurtz. I'm going to go with Odell Beckham.
You're still going to go with Odell Beckham?
Yes.
Jordy Nelson moving up.
But it's like the Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan thing where we're starting to get at a fantasy crossroads.
Right.
Where how much can you go on reputation?
Sure.
You got to start going on production.
And they play
for you, I know
too.
It's the middle of the first half and the first week.
Right.
But for now, me, it's about now.
Ronis, Jordy Nelson or Odell Beckham?
Yeah, I'm going Beckham. I like Jordy a lot. He's looked good since he's come back, and he's getting the touchdowns again. I just think Beckham has been solid the first 3 weeks. It's just the expectations we have for him. A lot of people took him with a top three pick, and he hasn't lived up to that. And especially in a week where Julio Jones got 300 yards. Beckham owners feel like crap after seeing last night, 3 for 23. But I think it will get better. I think last night was just going against a superior defense. I expect Beckham to turn it around. This is a guy that had, like, the best start for almost any player in NFL history his first 2 years. I don't think you just lose it after 4 weeks.
Absolutely not. All right, who you got, Ronis? Michael Crabtree or DeAndre Hopkins?
I will go with Hopkins. I think it has to get better for him. I think Crabtree's still underrated. He has been last year. He was this year in drafts. He's still getting the red zone looks, but Hopkins is just too good to be held down this long.
Scotty, who you got, Michael Crabtree or DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I feel like the superstars are eventually going to bounce back. That's my angle with Beckham. So, you know, I think Hopkins will be okay. Buy low. Buy low.
Scott Engel, who you got, Amari Cooper or Marvin Jones?
I'm going to go Marvin Jones. It's like, you know, this guy has just been outstanding as the number one wide receiver for Stafford. I think Cooper is going to get more involved in the flow, but I think like Jones is going to have the eye of Stafford every week, where I think there's going to be more offensive balance coming in the Raiders passing game.
Bruce?
Marvin Jones, loved him going into the year. He's the big play threat in this offense. He's getting the targets. Cooper should get better, but the problem is they just don't throw in the red zone to him enough, and he's still dropping passes again. So, again, Cooper looks good on the field. I think he has that explosiveness, but They just don't look at him enough in the red zone.
Is it fair to say that Michael Crabtree is the number one wide receiver on this team?
Yeah.
By the way, Fantasy Hater wants to know what's with the bell. So should I on Twitter? So should I let him know that you used to work in a diner?
You can if you'd like.
Yeah. Well, you used to own a diner. I'm
right.
Sorry.
I was going to say, all presenters, we don't work at diners. We own diners. There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Hey, final who you got. Ready? Scott Engel, who you got? The Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays tonight in the AL wild card game.
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles. The Blue Jays were 13-16 in September to October, averaging an AL worst 3.69 runs per game in those 29 games. Marcus Stroman was 0-for-5, has been a disappointment this year. I feel like Baltimore finished better, and they're going to have the momentum.
Chris Tillman versus your boy Marcus Stroman on the mound tonight, Ronis. Who you got?
I got the Blue Jays. Tillman's been banged up. He hasn't been that great down the stretch, and I think the Blue Jays bats will carry them.
All right. To me, I'm going with the Blue Jays bats carrying them as well. Both these teams actually do have wild card experience, so they've both been there. I think it's fun, the AL and AL East matchup. I think tonight's going to be fun, guys. I'm excited. There's actually a lot of TV I have to catch up on. I want to watch Westworld.
Much better pitching matchup on Wednesday.
Much better pitching matchup tomorrow night with Madison Bumgarner and Noah Syndergaard. There's a lot of TV I need to catch up on. I need to watch Westworld. It was HBO. I got to watch Shameless.
Shameless. I forgot, and I saw last night, so then I watched it after the game.
It was good.
I'd like to watch it, but I don't have Showtime.
Okay.
That show's hilarious.
Was it good?
I like William Macy.
Yeah, William H. Macy's awesome.
Yeah. I finished Ballers.
What'd you think?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I finished Ballers.
You know what, though? I really like Ballers, but I felt like
not good.
The endings to each of the two seasons have been, you know, a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah.
The way it kind of went out.
Right.
So now I'm going to catch up on Orange is the New Black, and I'm thinking of maybe watching Luke Cage on Netflix.
Fair enough. Yeah. For me, I got to watch Westworld. I think you probably would love Westworld, but I haven't watched
it yet. That's a new show, right?
Brand new show. Started Sunday night as well. We'll see what happens. You know, I got to watch Shameless, which came back in September rather than, or October rather than January.
It just came back this week.
Yeah,
right?
I
didn't realize it in the night.
It usually comes back in January. They brought it back a little bit earlier here this year. So I'm watching the new Kiefer Sutherland show, Designated Survivor. That's on the DVR. I got my Shark Tank. Being away for the weekend destroys my TV watching.
Yeah, ruined it for you, man.
Ian, what are you laughing at?
Sounded like you just said designated driver.
Designated survivor.
Yeah.
I thought you said designated driver, too.
Okay. I did not, but that's fine. Gentlemen, this was a fun one.
There's a lot more to come on FNTSY Radio.
A whole lot more to come, because coming up next is the Fantasy Biffles with Adam Ronis, Jake Seeley.
Greg Biffles?
No. Jake Seeley, Adam Ronis, and of course, Nana DeFino. For Scott Engel and, well, Adam Ronis, I'm Greg Sussman. We will do it all again tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And that's a wrap.